Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. I'm going to look at two passages for text, but I'll mention numerous other scriptures as well. We'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and then at Ephesians chapter 2. I want to speak on the subject of salvation. Salvation is really defined in three tenses. It is past. Joy and I got saved on September the 14th, 1975. And we got saved on that day. And then I'm still saved today, and she is too. And while we are saved, we are not perfect. We're still sinners. But we're sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. We have the enablement by God to live for Him and serve Him and grow in grace and knowledge. And then in the future, there's coming a day where we will be taken to heaven to be with the Lord, and we will get a glorified body like the Lord's body. And in that day, our salvation will be completed. So it's past, present, and future. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, that takes place genuinely when we believe on Christ by faith, and we are saved and we are kept by the power of God. So let's look at our text before I go any farther. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. We must never forget the world is filled with unsaved people. And we are to be the light of the Lord unto them by the gospel of Christ and by living the Christian life. And we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world as His people. And it's vital that we never forget. We rub shoulders with people who are lost. At the hospital, when Jimmy was at the hospital because of a heart issue, Tracy witnessed to a man that was there, and Jimmy said he was in tears after she talked with him about the Lord. And I understand that Carol Holloway was in the hospital after she ran over herself with the car and the truck. And when she got out of the hospital, Miss Sue picked her up, and the lady who wheeled her down in the wheelchair was crying, and Carol had just led her to the Lord, and she had been a witness while she was in the hospital. So it's vital that we don't forget. We rub shoulders with people who are lost, and sometimes those people have convictions. Somebody's been talking to them. Somebody's been praying for them. And they may be ready to receive Christ if someone would just explain the gospel message and the love of God. I like to use the expression, has anybody told you today how much God loves you? And it gets a little bit of sometimes kind of a shock. They aren't thinking about that. And they probably will say, well, no, nobody's told me that. Well, I'll be glad to tell you more if you'll allow me. And God's word gives us the understanding. Look at verse 9, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul writes about the unsaved who will not inherit the kingdom of God, and the fact that all of us were lost and sinners, just like this list he gave here, and many more sins. And yet God saved us, and when he saved us, he washed us and made us clean. He made us whole. He placed within us His Spirit, and He has set us apart unto Himself. We are sanctified, and we are justified. I want to bring a couple of messages that deal with this subject about salvation and justification and sanctification and how that we're cleansed through the blood of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians 2 with me, if you would. in verse 1 through 9. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened." I usually define the word quickened means to make alive. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We were under satanic influence before we were saved. We were living like the society in which we live, according to their standards. Verse 3 says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of living in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Just like all the way back in the book of Judges, where the Bible says there was no king in the land in that day, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We were in that position before we were saved, and we were surrounded by people who live that way still today. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word further today, we pray that you will exalt the name of Jesus, that you will exalt the Word of God. It is amazing to me, Father, as holy as thou art, you have said you have exalted your Word above all your name. But we want to exalt both today, Father. Receive praise, honor, and glory from us, we pray. And help me to help your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All mankind are born as descendants of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were the first man and woman God created and put on this earth. And then they had children. And you know the difficulty they had with their children, how one of them was righteous before God and the other was not, and he was angry and he killed his brother. And it's continued that way down through the years, that sin in the heart of men causes them to do unspeakable things. And yet God, in his mercy, reaches into that cesspool of sinners and lifts some out and saves them by his grace and cleanses them and makes them whole. And that's what God has done for you and I in salvation. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 18, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that one man was Adam, and we are his descendants." It goes on to say, "In Adam all die." That's the punishment for sin. "But in Christ all are made alive." Thank God today if you're in Jesus Christ and you have eternal life and you know the Lord is your Savior, and you can look back to the time you know when you got saved. And you can see in your life today that you are saved because of your desire to serve the Lord and your ability to understand and comprehend the Word of God and the conviction that comes when you do something wrong are assurances to us that we belong to the Lord and that we are still saved. And we have something great to look forward to, and that's the completion of our salvation on that day. When we're called up to be with the Lord and our bodies are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be with the Lord evermore. In Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive with eternal life. To be saved defines as to be made whole. It means to be delivered from the penalty of sin, where God said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then presently, the power of sin. We still struggle with the battle of sin. that we face with sin in our daily lives. We're going to look at Romans 6 with me and verse 4 and 5. The power of sin. We're saved to walk in newness of life. We are identified with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. His death took our sins away. His resurrection is the assurance that God hath taken His sacrifice to make us righteous, and we have that assurance by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We were saved. We died to sin with Christ, and we believed, and we were resurrected with Christ in His resurrection. Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Drop down to verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if we could just get our brain to think before we do things, if we just think about what sin is before God, and think about the fact that we've been saved by the grace of God, and God wants us to walk in newness of life. He wants us to live in righteousness. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. An accounting type thing. Account that we have been buried with Christ and raised again to a new life. Look down at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Boy, we got a great future to look forward to. We have a great God who can help us now, who can equip us to live for Him, enlighten us into knowing the Word of God, help us to grow as a Christian and be an influence for others to be saved. When we sin after we get saved, the Holy Spirit convicts us and our conscience convicts us that we have sinned, and we are to confess that to God. If we confess that to Him, then He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Confess means to say the same. We must say the same thing about our sin that God would say about our sin. Not just, Lord, you know, I wouldn't have said that bad word if that man hadn't cut me off in traffic. That's not confession, friend. Confession is, Lord, I sinned. I did wrong. Please forgive me. And we must look at our sin as God would look at our sin to find that cleansing and forgiveness that He has provided for us. Thirdly, salvation completed when we receive a glorified body. We will be called up to heaven to be with the Lord, and we who are corruptible will put on incorruption, and we who are mortal will put on immortality, and we will put on a body like Christ's body, for we shall see Him as He is, we shall be like Him. Thanks be unto God, when that day comes that our struggle with sin, our battle with temptations, our difficulty of failing, our guilt because of our sin will all be gone, my friends, and we'll be presented unto God blameless in His sight through Christ. Now, secondly today, this gift of God called salvation delivers us from the wrath to come. God will judge this earth. And all these sinners I read about and all the lists of man's sins that are found in the New Testament, all of these things, God's wrath will come upon them one day. And the way the world is going, we feel like it won't be far off. This wrath will come. But God has delivered us from the wrath to come by receiving Christ as our Savior. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, they turned away from idols unto the living God to wait for his Son from heaven who delivered us from the wrath to come. He makes us a part of the family of God. In 1 John 3 and verse 1 and 2, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. When you get saved, you become a part of the family of God. You are now a child of God. Jesus Christ is our elder brother, and we should glorify his name and appreciate what he has done for us. And he's going to share with us his inheritance one day when we go home to heaven and be with him and the Father. It comes not by works that we do, not by accomplishments we make, but by simply our faith in him and his name. In the Gospel of John 1:11 and 12, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And when you got saved, that's what you did. You believed on the name of Christ. You believed on him for your Savior. You called upon him to deliver you, to save you, to give you eternal life. And the Bible says if you do that in faith, that he will do what he can do. You can't save anybody, including yourself, but God can. And if you do what you're supposed to do in faith, God will do what he can only do, and that's save you from your sins. He makes us enabled then to grow and to learn and to be used of God. So salvation means that God hath chosen us, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God knows who's going to be saved, and God has chosen us in Christ, and God has already seen the end of how things will go in his ability and foreknowledge of man, and God has made a way that Christ could save us from our sins, and we can become a part of the family of God. We are redeemed, thirdly. Redeemed means to be purchased. God purchased us by the blood of Jesus Christ. He set us free. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We were in the slave market. Slaves to sin, slaves to our desires, slaves to following the society of the world, slave to the desires that the world puts upon people. And God in his mercy saved us and delivered us from the penalty of our sin. And he hath purchased us and set us free. We are not only redeemed, we're reconciled. In 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21, the Bible says two times in that passage about reconciliation, that a believing sinner is reconciled to God through the death of Christ. And the ministry of reconciliation is committed unto us as believers that we should help reconcile other people to God. And that's what being a soul winner is. That's what being a witness is. That's what living the Christian life and praying for the unsaved and being a witness to the unsaved is all about, helping others to be reconciled unto God. In Colossians 2 and verse 13 and 14, Scripture says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. All our sin debt was nailed to the cross. When Jesus died, the Roman government would put the charges against the sinner that was to be crucified upon the cross. All he could put about Jesus was the King of the Jews. And he put it in three languages. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, they didn't like that. They said, change that and say he claims to be. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. That was the only charge against him, that he is the king of the Jews. But without man writing it, not knowing all the sins of all men, Jesus knew and took upon himself. And the Father knew, and darkness came upon the earth while Christ was on the cross. And he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, meaning, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ suffered being forsaken for us so that we don't ever have to suffer being forsaken from God, because he will save us and keep us by his power. We've been redeemed. We've been reconciled. We've been made free from the law that condemned us. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. In salvation, we are also adopted. And that word is defined as son placing. God has placed us into the family of God as one of his children. And he hath placed us in such a way that we have all the rights and privileges as an adult son the moment we get saved. And God will place us where he wants us to be and use us in how he wants us to be used if we will walk with him and yield ourselves unto him. The spiritual birth then works together with the adoption as being placed in the family of God. And we have full access unto God. The Old Testament, the priesthood, and all those things stood in the way to a certain degree of man coming to God. Because no one could enter the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was kept and the mercy seat was on top of it. And no one could enter that except the high priest, and he only went in there once a year to offer the sacrifice of blood for men's sins. But when Christ died on the cross, there was an earthquake and rocks were rent, broken in two, and graves were opened. And some of those that were believers were resurrected from the dead. And the veil of the temple that separated men from the place of God was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And God made the way of access for you and for me. Now we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help from God in our time of need. We are made acceptable unto God. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. And we are with him in heavenly places. He has made us nigh. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. Colossians 1 verse 13. All of these things are just a part of what God did for you and through you and in you the moment that you received Christ as your Savior. Boy, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be kept. It's a wonderful thing to look forward to the glorification that we are going to experience in the future. In salvation, the believer is made righteous. The basis of eternal life is the fact that we are made righteous in Christ because of what he has done. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31 says this, "But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name." That life is eternal life. We don't wait till we die and put all our bad works and sins in one pile and all of our good works in another pile and see if it balances out that we get to go into heaven. That has nothing to do with salvation, my friends. Salvation is by your faith in Jesus Christ, and the moment you believe on him, you're saved. And you're saved eternally. You receive eternal life. God doesn't turn it off and on like a spigot Sometimes you do things that makes God discipline you for your attitude and for your actions, but it doesn't change the fact that you're His child and you're going to heaven one day with the Lord. Thanks be unto God, for He hath made Christ, Him, sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Righteousness is imputed unto those who believe. It means to take into account. God hath charged to our account that we are righteous. In salvation, the believer is justified by faith. And justification is that divine recognition by God that you are declared righteous by your faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the many things God does on our behalf, the moment that He saves us because we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ who has done the work. This is an immediate act by God. Turn in Romans 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. God in His ability and understanding knows who are going to be saved. And God's knowledge is a blessing to us that He has saved us and cleansed us. And the salvation we received is forever right and acceptable to God through Christ alone. And therefore we will be glorified because of our faith. In Romans 8 verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Our justified state is unchanged. The ground upon which justification rests is secure forever. There is no justification that can be provided to any man that is not permanent, eternal, and in the character of God. Because as believers, we become a new creation when we receive Christ as Savior. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. The former position before God as sinners is passed away, and we are now a new man and part of the family of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, therefore glory in the Lord. Give God thanks. Give God praise. Think about the fact that God has saved you. Never stop giving Him thanks for His mercy and His grace and His goodness and the fact that He has provided for us those witnesses that help bring us to a saving knowledge of Christ. I was a grown man. I was 24 years old. I was a welder at a nuclear power plant. And some men I worked with were witnessing to me. And they would discuss the Bible. And one particular man I sort of identified with. He was an Army guy in Vietnam, and I was a jarhead. And we had some things in common. We were both welders. And he had a way of witnessing. The Wheels, Jim Tessner, you know him. And Jim was that kind of man that I listened to him. I didn't listen to some others. Some others were just big mouths. You know, they just wanted to win the fight regardless of what they knew about the Bible. But that was not Jim. Jim had a way of witnessing that was kind, and it worked on me. I got under conviction. I didn't know what it was. I'd stop when I got off work going to a place to buy a beer. And I started looking out the door to make sure one of them Christians wasn't out there before I came out the door. You know. Something was going on in me. I didn't know what it was. But it didn't take long. God had me in college at night taking business administration, and a highway patrolman, y'all put your hands over your ears like that, who would lock me up when I was 16 years old, was going to school there. And he was a former Marine. And we started talking. He said, "Hey, why don't you and your wife come to church with us this Sunday? We're going to a new church that's in Rock Hill, just got started." And so we did. And we got saved. God surrounded us with the kind of witness we needed at that particular moment in time. We were saved in September. The next September, we were in Bible college out in Springfield, Missouri. I thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. I thank God He saved my wife and I together. We didn't have problems of pulling this way and that way. We had unity about things. Of course, it took us a little while. It took me quite a while to yield to going off to Bible college, give up my career. It took her a little while to give up her new home and to go out there. She even told me, said, "You go and I'll stay here." But God worked on her heart. She cried all the way to Missouri. And then when we left Missouri to come back here, she cried all the way back. She had met friends and loved ones there. God undertakes by His Spirit through His Son to make all He saves meet, M-E-E-T. And that means of worth, of value. You're important to God. He made you. He saved you by His grace. He lives within you. And He's got a wonderful future being prepared for you right now that you can look forward to. We are now partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light because of what Christ has done for us. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Father, we ask You to bless this assembly as we pause for a moment to think about what we've heard today. If there's anyone here that does not know Christ as Savior, please deal with their hearts by Your Spirit. Help them to know how much we care and want to show them the way and lead them in the path to come to Christ and be saved. And then, Father, bless Your people. Help us to be conscious and aware of the lost around us. Help us to be good witnesses and to live a Christian testimony, knowing that the world sees us all the time. Help us, Lord, to please You and help You to do Your work of saving the lost. Bless Your people now, we pray in Jesus' name.